The differently brained team acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands on which we record, edit, and stream this podcast. We pay our respects to all First Nations peoples and their elders past, present, and emerging. We extend that respect to all First Nations cultures and their ongoing connection to the lands, waterways, and communities. Let's get into it.
Hello. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Differently Brained. It's a podcast, I believe, where no brain is the same. I'm Lachlan Rutherford.
And I'm Jacinta Dietrich. And today we have another special guest, as we love to do. We have Narelle King. Narelle is the founder of Simply Happy, a professional organizer and yoga teacher with an education background. She helps individuals and families with organizational challenges to implement simple organizational strategies so that they can create a clutter-free, functional, and happy home. She's a mum of two teenagers, who are lucky you, and was formally identified as neurodivergent in 2021. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you both for having me.
First off, just to get things contextualized, what is your neurodivergence, Narelle?
So I was formally identified as autistic back in 2021. And then last year, so 2022 at the start, ADHD as well.
Right.
But, you know, and then you see little things along the way when you see your kids and with their, you know, struggling through some of their educational things. So I'm like, maybe there's that as well. And maybe there's that as well. So definitely sensory issues as well are really huge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Relatable there. Absolutely relatable. We are a very sensory household here. Have you done a sensory profile?
I haven't because I don't have an OT for myself, but my kids both have beautiful sensory profiles and I've done theirs, obviously.
Yeah.
So I can pick up, but I know definitely for me, it's light is huge. And I just got a new car recently and I'm like, I need it tinted because I just can't handle all the light coming in, streaming in. Sounds in particular, people chewing and people eating and drinking near me. And the other one is the touch and feel of things. So definitely like tags. All my clothes have their tags of being cut off. And I think my mum used to do that for me as a kid. And even now I automatically just cut everything off. And my kids, one of them in particular, is the same as me.
Absolutely fair. Tags are just that scratchy feel. Sound is the big one for me. We discovered when I did my sensory profile sound is the thing that generally works to stress me out a bit. But then also I have low auditory processing, which is just so weird to me. So sounds will set me off. But also if you say my name, you got to say it like four or five times because I have just not registered. It just doesn't make sense to me, but...
That's isn't it interesting, some of them, how they word them and then you're like, oh, actually, that is me as well. So, how they cross over. Probably another one which I need to go on and actually do a test myself, but is recognizing people. So I find it real. I can't think of the name of it now. But
the face blindness, whatever the proper name is.
yes. And I've definitely had that, and notice it more and the ways that I've actually accommodated myself and worked around until I found out it actually was a thing. Because I remember talking about it to some friends and they're like, don't be crazy. But now, you know, that I've heard, oh, that is a thing. I'm like, oh, yes, I do that. And the ways, the strategies I've worked out to be able to manage it as well without people realizing that you actually don't recognize them at all.
Fair enough. What does being an autistic ADHDer look like for you in your household on a day-to-day basis outside the sensory things?
Oh, so it is a lot around the sensory. So in the mornings I like to go and do exercise. So whether it's yoga or it's going to the gym, I don't particularly love the sounds and the noises at the gym and the lights, but I actually, the physical adrenaline I get from it overrides all that sensory stuff. So then when I come home, I try to have like a really big hearty breakfast, mainly for work as well. And that just sets me up for the day and just having peace and quiet. So no TV on, no music. And my kids have got used to that now, whereas when they were younger, they're talking, whereas I think they like their space now that they're teenagers and they'll go off. And just naturally we all enter the kitchen at different times. So everyone's sort of worked out. And it's if someone gets out of their routine and someone's late up, it's like, yeah, what are you doing? It's my turn to be in the kitchen. It's like not a written rule or anything or written times, but it just seems to work naturally. So when it doesn't, that's when you notice you're like, oh, I think this is just, we've all grown to do this for ourselves to, make the accommodation for ourselves.
Right.
And then it's just work. I was like a teacher and, you know, there's parts of that which was great, you know, the routine, classes, you knew where you were going. But if I had a day where they'd change everything around just last minute when you arrived, that would set me off. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, with my own business, I'm going to clients, I'm going to one person, dealing with one person. You know, there will be changes now and then, but then my ADHD part of my brain's like, oh, I love that change in routine or that change in what we're going to do and meeting new people. I actually really enjoy meeting new people, new clients each week as well.
Slightly different question. One of your interests is to help people in decluttering and organizing their homes. But first off, just want to ask, are you a clutter keeper?
No, not at all. No. I'm very minimalist. Even when my kids were little, I'd be like, we don't need this picture anymore. We can let go of that. And they, I think because they've grown up with me not keeping things, they've got used to it. But I do work with lots of families who have children who want to keep all of their things and all of their pictures. But no, I've always been a person who's able to let go of things, apart from photos and images. I really love collecting photos. I think that's just for my memory. But generally, our house is very minimal. We just have what we need.
That is so amazing and baffling to me. Like, just, I am absolutely a clutter keeper. So I kind of had assumed, to be honest, that maybe you were a clutter keeper and you'd worked your way through it and that's how you ended up doing Simply Happy and things like that. But wow, you just...
No, just naturally. Well, actually, my parents, so both of my parents are very organized. My dad was an electrician, you know, he'd be always tinkering in his shed. It was immaculate, super organized. And my mum, the same. The house had complete order, you know, everything that I do with clients, my mum would do in our house and she would regularly declutter and there just was what we needed. Also, I mean, I grew up when there wasn't a lot of money around and you looked after everything and things did last longer then as well. So,
yeah.
So how did you get into helping people declutter and organize their homes?
Well, if I really think back, I was always organized, even at school. And when I was in sort of year 10, 11 and 12, people would come to me to get my notes of how organized I was, how I structured my folders and just getting hints on how to get themselves organized for VCE was what I did for year 11 and 12. And then that same sort of thing went through into university as well around study and time management. And then working as a teacher, same. A lot of teachers are pretty organized. Some are, but there are a lot who are extremely organized. So the sports shed was super organized. Everything had its position. And then it was just I did some coaching and all the clients I was doing through the coaching were always asking for organization of advice. And then a support coordinator a few years ago asked, would you come and just do some in-person coaching instead? And it just grew from there. Basically, you did the first person and then the word got out and it was like, okay, I'm now just doing it in-house, not online. And I'd much prefer that. And you see a lot faster results when you're working with people and you're there and you're keeping them motivated and that accountability. Whereas I would find online, you'd maybe talk to them a week or two later and they'd be like, there'd be so many challenges that had got in the way. And I felt like if I could just come and do it with you, the body doubling would actually help. So, so it's definitely just grew from then. It was like 2017, so a few years ago now.
Oh, wow. What does a decluttering organization session look like with you? I haven't had someone come and do that kind of thing, and I'm so intrigued. Like, how does that actually work?
Well, first it's a conversation usually on the phone so they can share where they'd like to start and which bits are sort of a hot spot. There's always something that they'd like to start with. And then I usually will come in and maybe do a meet and greet, depends on their location, or we'll do a Zoom call and they'll show me their spaces and share some photos, which is really difficult and challenging for some people. Whereas for me, it's like, I see this all the time. There's no judging about it. And then it might be just sharing some ideas of, these are some ideas we could do, and then let them think about it. So that's why it's really important, just that first, before you actually physically start the job, just sharing some ideas so that they've got the time to process that. And then it's going in, and it's usually a spot that they've decided we're going to do, whether it's like the linen cupboard, or maybe they're really game and they want to do the shed straight off the garage and get that organized, or a spare bedroom. It's interesting how people will decide on whether it's the large space that they've been talking about for ages, or whether we just start with the small space like a pantry.
Is it common that the people that you help, they kind of come to the realization that they have a problem with clutter, or is it sort of an interventionary type
thing? Oh, no, it's always them coming. Yeah. I haven't worked with anyone with intervention. I've heard of clients where that's happened, but no, mine are all have come themselves. A lot of them are neurodivergent and have an NDIS plan, so we'll work through their goals, part of their plan. And that's really fun, because I like that when we can space it out over, say, a year, because then we're building processes and we can also then go back. So things change, especially if people have kids and the kids change, their ages change, and we are then able to review it and go, okay, this isn't working anymore, this command center at the front of your house. It needs to be moved to this bit, and we can just tweak things. So that's what's really great when you have like the ongoing sessions with people, whether it's fortnightly or monthly catch-ups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense to, you know, set up those processes and have the organizational backing behind the reducing of the clutter and things like that. I think it's something that when we were looking at having someone come on to talk about decluttering, because it's something that, you know, I personally have an issue with, it was always like, you know, we'll help you get rid of all the stuff, but then it didn't feel like there was a lot of processes to help you maintain the house. Yeah. It was just kind of a, here you go, all your stuff is gone. Not all your stuff, but like a lot of your stuff is gone, start from scratch kind of thing. And I absolutely know that, like, if I was to do that, I would just start hoarding again. Like, it would just...
Yeah, you would just get the things again.
Yeah.
Because it's also looking at the function. So it's massively about the function. How do we want the function of the space rather than changing behavior? Mm-hmm. So, like, an example is in a bathroom. For my kids, I had now have a bin next to the toilet, but also a bin near the sink. If I only had the one, they still would put the toilet rolls on the ground instead of walking over. So it's like just looking at where the problem is and going, okay, how can we solve this, rather than trying to change behavior, because I know that's not going to happen. And it's the same with my clients. And a lot of them, that's what they like, the fact that it's sort of a neuroaffirming approach. It's like, there's no point changing their behavior. We'll just add something else in here. So like intentional doubles, like cords, charging. Even the other day, a lady had a laptop and I was like, oh my gosh, you've got one out here in the kitchen. This is fantastic. And she goes, oh, I thought you'd say that's bad because I've bought two things. And I was like, no, intentional doubles is great because then you're not going to lose it and you've got it in both spaces. So yeah, using that neuroaffirming approach, I really like with the clients I work with.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like watching a lot of, I mean, I don't really watch a lot of shows where it's getting rid of clutter and hoarding and that kind of stuff. My mother likes to watch those occasionally.
I love to watch those.
And, it operates on some sort of, as you said, like behavior changing metric, really. Like it's meant to be about it, like they're changing the way that they operate within their own home. And I think it's so great, and honestly not really in other parts of society enough, where it is sort of neuroaffirming. Like you recognize the person's situation and you make accommodations around that rather than the other way around.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Because then you see change as well. Like you're like, okay, now things are working. This kitchen is, you know, nice and tidy, and you're able to find your things because we've set it up to suit you rather than making you put things away that maybe you don't. Because it's also looking at your, I love, there's a clutter bug and she's based over in America. And I love her theory around us all having different, being different clutter bugs. So for me, I'm a cricket. So I liked everything hidden away so I can't see it. But I also like to macro organize. So everything, say you have stationery, you've got all of it. I would have, you know, the rubbers together, the pencils together, the sharpeners. the texters and the pens, and whereas a macro organizer is someone who puts it all together and it's just called stationery. So knowing which ones we are, whereas my family are mainly butterflies and they like to see everything. So they like the air fryer on the bench. They like the toaster on the bench. So it's like then working together too with the different styles within your home.
Yeah. That's something that I'm going to absolutely look into that after this, because I think potentially me and my partner Lucas are different styles.
Yeah.
Where I would absolutely love to be a Cricut and have everything away because I know it looks nicer, but then I forget it exists.
That's exactly
it. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I know that I have to have it out, but then like it annoys me that I have to have it out kind of thing. And he is absolutely a put it all away, I don't want to see it kind of fella. So we've had to, you know, meet in the middle a little bit where we have a lot of storage containers for my stuff, but they had to be relatively clear ones. And I needed a label maker to be able to label it so that I can still kind of see what's in there and remember it exists, because just looking at the storage container isn't enough for me to remember, like, oh, yeah, I have stuff for that hobby that does exist.
And look, and that's another thing that it's like tears me, because I really loved things to be sustainable and for us to set the home up. But to be honest, with a lot of my clients, they really do need the clear plastic container because they need to be able to see it. Otherwise, if you can't see it, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So it's like that fight between me of like, oh, I'd love to just put this in a nice cane basket and it looks good, but and it's environmental and you've already got some around the house, but we just have to sometimes work and go, oh, no, we actually need this clear because we've tried that before and it didn't work and you went and bought more scrapbooking stuff because you couldn't find it. So, yes, I get that. And that's the thing, whereas I find for myself the special interest, I'm quite happy and I think I've taught my kids that, okay, we're finished with boxing, no one's boxing anymore. Okay, let's sell the boxing gloves and the, you know, punching bag and stuff and let's move on to the next hobby and special interest that my kids are interested in or I'm interested in too, which I don't see that in a lot of homes. Not initially, but over time, that's when people go, this is really good if we can move some of the stuff out. The long-term clients that I have, you know, just see a real difference in their own mental health and even just our spending as well, and realizing why they're actually purchasing things that they don't need, and that dopamine, just looking at the dopamine hit they're getting from it as well.
All of that is just, so amazing and insightful. When you said first that, you know, when you guys are done with something, you on-sell it, my heart gave like a little like, because my first instinct was, but what if you get back into that hobby again? Then you have to go and buy it again. But, you know, you're probably right in terms of looking at why we buy these things and all of that. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, fair enough. Deep breath.
And I don't know if you've seen, there's some really great Facebook groups, which are like crafting groups. And so you can go in there and you can say, I've got this, I've lost interest, even a project that you haven't finished, and you can forward it onto them and someone else can do it and finish the project, or you can sell, or it's donate your hobbies that you do, you don't want to do anymore. And I just feel like the universe, if you do get back into it, you'll be like, oh, I can get the new tools that have come out, the new parts of it, and it might be slightly different. That's how I see it anyway.
That's true, actually. The sharing economy on, you know, Facebook and things like that, especially in our neurodivergent communities, I think is really starting to grow and thrive, because you're absolutely right. We, you know, get halfway through and then we decide, oh, we don't want to do this anymore. And I think that is one of the things that makes me feel a bit safer about getting rid of things, is knowing that like down the line, I probably can find that stuff again for free or relatively cheap from someone else who's done the same thing.
Yes, definitely.
So that is definitely a bit of a ease on the whole process for me personally, of looking at like, okay, maybe we can move on with this hobby and it'll go to someone who actually wants it. And then down the line, maybe it will come back, but we'll deal with that and it's okay.
Definitely. They're like ADHD crafting, donating Facebook groups. There's lots of them. They're worldwide as well. But I've joined just some of the ones that are in Australia to be able to also help my clients move some of their things on as well to other people.
We're going to go to a quick break, and on the other side, we'll have more clutter questions for Narelle.
If you find yourself wasting precious time searching for misplaced items and wishing for a more organized life, then you need my 5-minute declutter ebook, the ultimate guide to quick and easy organizing solutions for a clutter-free and happy home. Forget about spending months commiring your house. These fun solutions are designed to give you immediate results in under 5 minutes. Head over to Simply Happy in the resource section and download your free copy and start seeing results in minutes.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the break. We certainly did. And we're here talking to Narelle King, who is the host and founder of the Simply Happy podcast. And we're talking a little bit about clutter. And this is a pretty rudimentary question, and it's probably going to spawn a whole heap of really broad answers, perhaps. But the question is, why do we keep clutter, Narelle?
Oh, I think it's like really interesting because Jacinta said it before, like, oh, but what if I need it? What if I need it again? What if I want to use it again? And I've let that go. So that's a big one that I hear all the time, that people are like, oh, I'm just not sure if I'm going to use it again, so I better keep it. And like, so when I'm talking to people about that, it's like, I have a 20 rule, it's called. So it's 20 minutes and it's worth $20. If I can replace that item for $20 in 20 minutes, then I'm going to let it go because I just don't have the space in our house to keep everything that we may potentially use down the track. The other one is the financial. So that's why it's work out what's for you. Maybe it's something for free and it's going to take you, say, 5 minutes to be able to find it. Maybe it's on a Facebook group and someone's getting rid of it. So you just have to work out what's going to be for value for yourself, if it's going to be money or no money, and what time you're going to put around it. But I think that really helps you to just decide whether to keep it or not. And then also just looking at the finances, that's a big thing. Even if people aren't going to use it, but they've paid a lot of money for it, they really feel guilty about letting it go and not using it.
Yeah.
Again, like secondhand, selling it, and you're never going to get as much as what you bought it new in the first place, which is why I always jump on Facebook Marketplace when I want to buy something before I'll go and purchase it brand new, because it's always someone who's seems to be getting rid of something for whatever reason. They're moving. I don't know. There's so many different reasons why they got it as a gift and they've already got one. So yeah, it's definitely the finance. And then it's also like maybe someone's given it to them, so there's sentimental value around it. Yeah, which is really big as well. And that's probably the least one that I'm not going to push anyone to do anything with. It's like, how can we preserve it? And actually, instead of maybe having it in a box and hidden away that no one's going to see until you declutter again in a few years' time, how can we preserve it? How can we put it out on display somewhere so it's like a talking point as well? Mm-hmm. So I know for myself, I've kept some of my grandma's things, and I like that. I mean, even when my kids were little, people would be saying, you know, you're crazy having it out. But I'm like, I love it. I love to be able to see it. And I like that people ask questions. I know that maybe two things have broken, but at least it's out on display rather than hidden in a cupboard and we're not talking about it. So yeah, it's working out, yeah, what you can keep and you could have out on display or somewhere framed even, whatever it is, or using it so you can share that story and then maybe it can be then passed on to somebody else in your family because they know the story of it too.
I like that. And it's kind of, I don't know, it seems kind of strangely paradoxical that when people are like hoarding things for sentimental reasons or because they are worried that they might, as Jacinta said, pick up the hobby again later down the track or it was expensive or whatever, it's not as though logic is going out of the window, really. It's like, it's all of these considerations being made at the expense of the consideration of space, you know? Like,
Definitely. Yeah. It's so much deeper. It's not just, and I love when people share the story of why they want to keep something. A lot of it's memory too. Lots of people, you know, struggle with their memory and they might be like, I'm not going to remember that time or that place or that event. So I've kept this to remind me that I can now share that story again. Yeah. Another one was the environment. That's huge.
Yeah, right.
Lots of people keep things because they're like, where does it go? It's going to go into landfill. So it's like also sharing about where things can be donated or, you know, given a second life or recycled really helps people to let it go. That's one of, you know, my foundations of my business is that I make sure that things that can be used somewhere else in our community are taken there for a second life, and for whether it's, you know, remade into something else or it's reused straight away as it is in its own form. I think that's really important for people to understand, because then they're more likely to let things go. If they think it's just going straight into landfill, there's no way some people will let go of any of their things at all.
Yeah.
All of that rings true for me as our resident differently brained clutter keeper. There is absolutely the poverty mindset behind it of what if I need it down the line and what if I won't be able to get it again, even if I'm in a financially secure position when I'm looking at decluttering. It still brings up that emotion of, oh my God, but what if I can't access this again? And then also 100% the landfill environmental aspect of, well, I can't just put it in the bin. Like, I physically cannot just put something in the bin, but then I don't always have the executive function or the knowledge to be able to know where it could go instead, kind of thing.
You just hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what it is. Yes.
Instead of doing anything, I'll just keep it in my house because I'm like, well, I know where it is here. Yeah, it's not the bin. It's all right. All of that rings so true for me.
Like some of the bizarre, there's been some really interesting things that I have found in people's homes and they're like, I just don't know what to do with it. And I'm like, oh, I know. And like, you know, even down to hair, like long, you know, pieces of their hair that they'd got chopped off. And they're like, I know I can donate that somewhere, but I don't know where. I struggle with finding that. And, you know, we set it up, we found it online, we booked it all in and I posted it off and they even got a little certificate sent to them. So it's cute. Finding those and I, like, you know, just having those resources in my local area to be able to connect people with, which is really, really important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, it's not really super accessible information, I guess, you know, and it makes sense because everything gets recycled differently and sent differently and all of that. And there probably is so many more resources and organizations than I think there is.
Oh, definitely.
But
there is.
When I Google, like, how do I get rid of this thing? There's sometimes so much conflicting information that even just that part, I'm just like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't go through the information to get the answer because I don't have. I'll just keep the thing. I'll just give up and keep.
And that's what professional organizers, that is their job. That's what they really love. You know, we're part of a professional organizing group, the IOPO. I'm terrible with acronyms. But, you know, we've got a Facebook group and we're always sharing, oh, I found this new place that's taking books, or this place is taking art supplies at the moment. All over Australia they are. Or there's this new recycle place in Brisbane. So we all have those resources at hand all the time anywhere in Australia, which is really great to be able to share.
That is so wonderful. For people who potentially don't have the access to get a wonderful professional organizer like yourself, how can we start the uncluttering journey ourselves? The Marie Kondo thing of like, does it spark joy, didn't work for me because everything sparks joy. I'm like, yeah, I've got this exists and now I'm happy all over again. How can we bring those little smaller parts of decluttering and organization into our lives if we can't access someone wonderful like yourself?
Well, it's probably looking at like whether you need it, whether you use it, and whether like it's needed right now or whether it's just something you want to keep. So really tuning into what your values around this particular item, because if it's something that you're not using and you haven't used it for maybe 12 months at least, it's like, okay, so why am I holding on to it? And looking at the reason why you're holding on to it and not being hard on yourself. If it's because of the finance, well, maybe can I sell it, or maybe I can give it to somebody else. But really, it's a bit of soul searching. Why am I doing this? And looking at the reasons why you're holding on to items, rather than just being, oh, I'm just a hoarder, which is what I hear all the time. And it's like, yeah, well, it's hoarding behaviors. And that's probably not true. There's a reason, you know, it's fear, guilt, or an emotional attachment to it of some kind. And so it's just really looking at those and then just looking at the area that you want organized, whether it's like your pantry, and looking at, why do I want this? What is it that I'm trying to get out of this space? And then going from there. So, you know, if it was your pantry, I want to be able to, the kids, for example, to be able to get their own lunch boxes ready. So looking at the snacks, maybe we could put those together in a box of some kind. And maybe we put the condiments so they can make their toast by themselves, so they can get those out. Even if I've got to spread the butter and Vegemite, at least they could get those out and put them on the bench. So really looking at why you know, you want that space organized and what the benefit is, because that's going to motivate you to keep going rather than just saying, oh, I just need to tidy my house and declutter all my things. Mm. But there's a reason. There's always a reason why, because maybe you can't find anything and it's looking at your washing process or your clothes. You've got too many clothes and you're really struggling with having too many clothes in your wardrobe. And it's like, well, possibly is there a way of like simplifying that and putting it into some boxes and just putting it aside for the moment and seeing if you miss it or not, rather than just going and throwing everything out and you've actually not prepared yourself. And emotionally, you're just going to go out and collect those again. So maybe if you just put it aside and then went, okay, whether I haven't even thought about that dress or those things, maybe I can let them go. And I find that with lots of clients that we have done that, when we do get it and bring it back, they're like, oh no, I don't need that anymore. And it changes, their whole mindset really changes. And they're like, no, we haven't used it. It can go. We didn't miss that. We can let it go. Whereas I think if you did that straight away, for some people, yeah, they then have that fear and sort of a negative emotion around decluttering and organizing, mm-hmm. which we don't want. We don't want to traumatize people with it.
It's such an emotional process. And I think, you know, I am definitely guilty of just saying, oh, I'm a hoarder. Oh, I just keep things and things like that. But like, you know, when you just spoke it through, we really do attach so much emotions to stuff.
Yeah.
And there's so much more mindset and thought behind it than I think probably what a lot of us who keep a lot of stuff initially would say when asked, why do you keep so many things? Yeah.
It just reminded me of like even kids in school. You know how they put their artwork up at school and display it so they get to see it and then they bring it home. And if we just said to them, that's it, you know, it's in the bin. But if we put it on the fridge for a little bit, I found that my kids in particular would be like, no, I'd say, okay, the next step was a pin board in their bedroom. Do you want that to go down there? And they'd be like, yes or no. If it went there, yes, then it was like, okay, do you want to keep this one after, you know, another month or so? And it was like, nah, it's okay, it can go now. So just recognizing that and putting things on display really helps. And I think, yeah, then taking it away and bringing it back out again, then you've got that chance to say, yeah, I haven't missed it. Or, yeah, that's really great. I loved seeing this again. So. Mm. Yeah, just definitely around the emotion and thinking about the emotions around why we have things.
Yeah,
but starting early, like I see it with children all the time, and when I love working with kids the most, because I see over time it's like, okay, then they go, oh, actually, I don't need that anymore, do I? And it's your choice. They can keep all the artwork and all the pictures, and then over time though, they do eventually, if we keep at the process of before Christmas or before a birthday, is going and decluttering and organizing their things again. I think they just get used to that uncomfortable feeling.
Yeah.
And it's not so bad if you continue to revisit it.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure, Jacinta, for you, is that something that you did as a kid? Did you go through and have to do decluttering before a birthday or before Christmas?
No, definitely not. Our financial position was very different when I was a kid. So birthdays and Christmases were things that we really, really needed.
Yeah.
Like, you know, your new school bag and things like that. So the idea that we would get rid of things before that, it was no, definitely not. It was absolutely, you held on to everything. And I've clearly definitely taken that into my adult life.
Yeah, and that's true. And I find that with clients. I see that with clients who had that as their upbringing, and then they're passing it on to their kids and like, here's showering them. Here's all the things that you can have, because I didn't have that as a kid either.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And yeah, to work with kids and get them while they're, you know, still fresh and they don't have that as many, you know, emotions of the fear and trauma surrounding it.
Mm.
It sounds so much nicer.
It definitely, definitely is.
So we've talked about how you help people physically and Zoomily in their homes, but you also have a podcast. How did you start that and why did you start it?
Oh, the same. It was the same probably as you. It's just trying to connect with people and share simple steps that people can do in their homes without me being there. So things that I will do with clients, it's just sharing solo episodes around those. And some people will reach out and say, oh, can you do one on car organization, or can you do one on a command center for my kids at the start of the year? So just sharing how I would do that with a client and sharing some examples. And then the other part, which I absolutely love, is interviewing guests. So having people come on for a conversation And I'm a bit picky. I just go, I like that person and I really like what they're talking about. So it doesn't necessarily always have to be around organization, but definitely relates to the environment. Maybe it's more around like mental and physical health as well, which relates completely with organization when you really peel it back. But for people who have just heard of organization, say Marie Kondo, they're like, oh, I don't think there's any emotional stuff there, is there? And the other bit is around the environment. So really focusing on like how can we be more sustainable in the way we're living as well and the things that we're consuming and buying. So yeah, so love having guests on who share their information. And then obviously having that neurospicy part to myself, interest, special interest, I'll invite guests on because someone else reached out and said, do you have to be neurodivergent to be a guest? And I was like, no, but I do like neurodivergent guests. So yes. And thank you because it was great having the two of you both on the other week
thank
as well.
You.
Yeah, actually, for those who are listening to this, if you haven't listened to our episode where we're interviewed on Narelle's show, go and do it. We'll have a link in the show notes.
That's a beautiful plug. Well done. Yeah. Nailed it. You said special interest, and this is probably off topic, but are there any organizational environments or spaces that you aren't as interested in decluttering and organizing? Like when you said car organization, already I'm not a super on top of it person, but I was like, oh, that's, I don't want to do that the most. Is there any that you're like, oh, that's less fun?
Oh, no, not really. Probably.
Oh my God, you're amazing.
I love all, like even paperwork. I'm probably less likely to, like I probably have that thought of, oh, paperwork. But once I start, I'm like full on into that. Same with photos. Photos and like online digital photos. It's probably the least. I'm sure there's someone else out there that I would send and handball that job onto because that'd probably be my least. I'm definitely more like the physical hands-on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do a lot of executive functioning for people, like working through a problem that they're having. A bit like even the one that you were talking about, NDIS, and reaching out to people and bringing them together for them because some of them really struggle with that. So the organization ranges from physically organizing a space to also admin, like life admin, personal assistant type things as well. And right. I like them all. But yes, I do. I do really like spaces and like I love garages and kids' toy rooms are probably, yeah, my favorite, as well as what do you call it? Pantries. I love pantries.
I don't know where you'd even start tackling a kids' toy room. That just sounds like I cannot imagine putting an organizational structure in there that's ever going to work. So the fact that you're like, yeah, we can do this, I'm like, wow.
Yeah, no, I love toys. Toys and, yeah, organizing that space is amazing. It's heaps of fun. It's great working with kids too.
You spoke about how you help people with their executive functioning and whatnot. And in conversations that we've had with people who have ADHD, executive functioning can be quite a difficult thing to overcome. How are you able to get to a point where you can function in that way yourself but also help other people to do that?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And it's the same in the professional organizing world. There's lots of other neurodivergent people working in this area, and some of them find that it's because, you know, they've worked out all the processes themselves, and so therefore they can help other people. And some of them will say that they're not very organized in their own life, or they're not very motivated to stay organized. Mm-hmm. Whereas I find that I am really motivated, and I think I just like that dopamine rush of getting everything organized in my own house. Executive functioning for me probably is more around like appointments for my kids, the things that I'm not so motivated, or myself trying to get a psychiatrist appointment for myself, which has taken, you know, the referral from the doctor. So for myself, that's where I lack. Whereas you could tell me, could you do this for me? And I will have that done for you in 2 to 3 hours. So that accountability of somebody else, I can do that for you. Whereas in my own life, that's where I'll struggle with some of the things. I'll get it done, but it may take just a little bit longer than if I was to do it for you, that I'd do it in the next hour or two for you and get it right for you. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It is very different when it's someone else. Like I feel like I can do a lot of different things for other people that I just really struggle with for myself. I don't know what it is or how it clicks in, but I don't know. It's different. The brain is like, oh, no, that's not for you, so you can do it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I do find the brain, that whole chemistry around our brain really fascinating. and how it works. And that's what's great about working with neurodivergent clients, because there's no shame around it, because I get what you're struggling with, because I do that in my own life, but I can help you with this because it's not mine, it's your life. So let's try and cancel that membership that you've been paying for 6 months and keep saying, I need to cancel it. Let's do that. Let's go through the steps. Let's find the phone number. Let's, you know, give them a call or an email and do all the things that some people will really struggle with, the so many steps and just that taking initial action, and even maybe around the talking to people, communicating, how do I put that in words as well? So just having somebody else there, body doubling can really help.
Absolutely. This has been such a wonderful discussion. Thank you so much. For our beautiful listeners who want to find out more about you, where can they find you online?
They can go to simplyhappy.com.au and they can find social media and podcast. Everything's there. So yeah. They can just go straight to the website.
Wonderful. So organized.
Well, make it simple and easy.
Amazing. Well, this has been so helpful for me personally, and I'm sure it's going to have been helpful for so many of our community, because I know that a lot of us are hobby hoarders and clutter keepers and all those things. So thank you so much for coming on today and sharing all of this.
Oh, no, thank you so much for asking me. It was so lovely to chat with you both.
Amazing. And we'll have all the things that Narelle discussed, as well as her website, in our show notes, as well as a few bits and pieces if you want to come and find us. But in the meantime, we'll see you next week.
See you, y'all. Differently Brained shares the opinions of individuals and does not consider your personal circumstances. Differently Brained exists purely for information purposes and should not be relied on as health or medical advice. Because no brain is the same, please consult your healthcare professional for your personal medical needs.